Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome everyone to another week of the SC Report podcast. I might sound like a bit of an unfamiliar voice. You're not going to hear the dulcet tones of Nick or Wenon this week. Instead, you've got myself, Wilfred, aka Catfish, and joining me on the other end of the line, we've got another legend, JT. That is Justin, not the great Jonathan Thurston.
Finally,
it's the second best JT we know.
Yeah, legend is a very loosely used term. Yeah, Wilf, how are you, mate?
Not too bad at all. So why are we doing this podcast?
Well, it seems like some of the higher-ups in the Supercoach Talk world are off either jet-setting around the world or have got a case of old man back, from what I heard, for poor Nick.
Yeah. Unfortunately, both of them are tied up. So, and Joe Fitz has dropped the ball yet again for some reason.
He could still be out taking his dogs for a walk after the last Bulldogs performance.
That's a fair call. So, yeah, instead you're stuck with us two. So, yeah, this will be interesting, but we'll see how we go. How did you go last week, Justin?
I actually had a bit of a turnaround the last couple of weeks. So I was sitting about 80th maybe 3 weeks ago. I had that two-week run without owning Luttrell or Teddy or Turbo and absolutely got slaughtered in the rankings. The last 2 weeks, I've come back with a couple of 1100s. So I had 1169 last week, thanks to one Joseph Tarponet on Sunday steamrolling the Tigers' defensive line. So thank God for him. He saved the bacon in basically all of my head-to-heads and pushed me up to that pretty decent score. So happy with that. How about yourself?
Yeah, no, my decline is ongoing. I think about 7 weeks ago, I was sitting at about 159th. I'm now outside the top 2,000. I'm sitting at 2,401. So not the greatest almost 2 months for me. I only scored 1,070 last week. So, you know, similar to you, right, that couple of weeks without Luttrell, Teddy, Turbo, I'm still suffering on that one. So, yeah, it's going to be a rough turnaround for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to pull this one back, but I'll definitely still give them the best shot in the last couple of weeks.
That's a long time in Supercoach, mate. I think our Warriors pods that we were owning after the buys in the FUS, RTS, in general just let us down these last few weeks. I mean, they were all right for you last week, but they were absolute killers when we had those guys and not the Roosters. But anyway, Supercoach is a funny game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if Teddy had missed another week and Turbo hadn't gone so well and Luttrell was even lazier than he usually is, who knows? And the Warriors actually performed like I could be sitting in the top 50. But, you know, those are the risks you take. Some of those calls pay off, some of them don't. So
I actually want to give a quick shout out to Kurt Mann. So he was scoring so poorly. I've still got him in the side, but he was a trade-out target for weeks and weeks. Last week, he was just short of the money I needed to turn him into Cleary with my last trade. Lo and behold, Gareth Widdop busts his shoulder and is gone for the finals. I can trade him up to Cleary now. Man plays 5'8". There's a non-auto emergency nightmare from now on, I hope. And everything turns around. So it's all luck. I would be absolutely spitting chips if I had made that trade and I was stuck on zero trades for the run home with a busted Widdop and a busted Watson in my 5'8", but Anyway, that's the luck you get sometimes.
Yeah, look, it certainly sounds like that's worked out well for you. And just, I guess, a shout out to you. Obviously, you're still trending number one on our Young Legends League, so sitting at a nice rank of 297.
Yeah, it's been an incredible year. I was sitting at 35th, I think, in round 13, and then it sort of slid down from there. But just stoked to get a key ring, I think, given how like up and down the season can be. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy how a couple of weeks can make or break the year.
Yeah, speaking of make or break, I mean, shout out to Copes, who was, a few weeks back sitting around a 5,000 mark. Now he's jumped up to 730, so he's been absolutely killing it for the last, probably 4 or 5 weeks now. So it's been an incredible turnaround for him. Even the great Sangster is just outside the top 1,000 now, and he was, back in 4,000 as well. So they've had a really good couple of weeks now.
Sangster loves to get one over the haters, I'm sure. That's great for him.
Yeah, so unfortunately, with Surge Buster 1340, Nick 1373, VK 1744, myself in 2400s. Yeah, the rest of us are still sliding down. So Wenin's now outside the top 3,000. So it's not a good trend for us, but
it's tight up there, though. You never know.
It is very tight, and 3 weeks left, like you said. That's an eternity in Supercoach.
So are you guys going for the top 1K or just bragging rights amongst young legends?
I think I'd like to make the top 1,000, but if that's not going to be a reality, that's like to be near the top of the Young Legends League.
Wenin will blame his holiday, but we all know it's his poor picks he's been dishing out.
All right, let's enough about us. Let's look at this week. Do you want to take us through the team list and if there's anything noteworthy you want to point out?
Yeah, it wasn't an overly exciting team list Tuesday, so nothing too major to come out from there. So the first game we got on Thursday night, tomorrow night, your Broncos against the Rabbitohs in their last little scrap for final eight relevance. So Josh Maguire comes back in from his hair pulling incident. He'll start at lock. Nothing, no other changes from them. Gagai gets his go at fullback for the injured Johnson. And then as a debutant on the bench here, Mawani Hiroti for the Rabbits. He has been slated to come in to the starting side in on the wing there to mark up against Oates, but nothing in the team list cuts for now, so keep an eye out for him. Next game, Manly in the Gold Coast in Sydney on Friday night. Nothing changed from last week. No major changes for either side there. Brenko Lee comes back in to the starting side for the Titans. Second game on Friday night is the Storm against the Eels. Again, no major changes there. Debutant for the Eels coming off the bench, Oregon Kafusi. Not sure, don't have too much of an idea about him. Saturday.
Is he even a real person? Surely not a real name, right?
Oregon. Well, he's. I don't know that he's related to the other 500 Kafusis that are running around the NRL in the lower grades, but he may well be. The next game we got on Saturday is the 3 p.m. game, Panthers and the Knights. So obviously the big news out of the week is James Maloney being out with an injury, and he's replaced by Tyrone May, who had a really good year while he was filling in for Cleary in those injured weeks. For the Knights, there's a bit of conjecture around, but Kalen Ponga is still named at fullback there. A bit of word around that he could get shifted to 5'8", but we'll get into that a bit later. Next game on Saturday is the Tigers and the Dragons at Leichhardt. So big news here for Mahe Fanua. Anyone who may still own him or is looking for a pod in the run home, he's been named to start at centre from his broken arm after a long layoff. For the Dragons, obviously, Kurt Mann comes in for Gareth Widdop, who did that shoulder last Saturday in that horrible game against the Eels. No other changes for either side. For the next game, Sharks v Cowboys at Southern Cross. So no changes to the Sharks aside from Wade Graham, who's been replaced by Scott Sorensen. For the Cows, John Asiata comes into the starting lineup for the suspended Taumalolo, which is a big blow for our hopes of avoiding the spoon. Sunday, we've got Joe's Dogs against the who knows what they'll dish up Warriors, 2 o'clock at ANZ. Lachlan Lewis comes back in for Matt Frawley. He was out with a family issue, I believe, last week. So good to see the young kid get another start. No other major changes for either side there. Raiders and Roosters rounding out the week on Sunday arvo. Brad Abbey's swapped around with Nick Kotrick, who had a bit of a Rocks and Diamonds game last week. No other major changes for either side there. Moving on to a bit of the late mail that we've seen come in. As we mentioned, the debutant Hiroti could come into the starting side tomorrow night for the Rabbits for Fui Moana. Ponga, as we mentioned, might get a role at 5/8. Listening to Nathan Brown today, I think he was mentioning that that might be a move to limit his running game as he's still being a bit troubled by ankle and calf issues. So, yeah, it raises a few question marks over Ponga. What do you reckon about that move, Will?
I think surely that means he'll make more tackles. And we saw at Origin that he's obviously able to defend in the middle. So I don't think that'll be too bad. But, yeah, obviously a lot of his tackle busts and potential line breaks and things like that come off his running game. So if he's making less runs, then yeah, it could mean that his base is ultimately a bit higher, but less potential for attacking stats. But it's hard to tell. Like, we don't know what he looks like playing 5/8, and he's so talented that he could still brain it anyway. I think with him against the Panthers, who have been quite leaky overall in terms of points, I think he's got to be a play in that sense.
So if you had him, you'd be playing him even at 5/8.
Yeah, I'm planning to. I've got him, and I've also got RTS as my fullback, and I'm going to play both this week. So,
a couple of big calls. It's interesting you mentioned the Origin 5/8. Wasn't that Ponga's first ever game at 5/8? And I think they ran at him all night, and he made about 30 tackles.
I think he was playing locked officially. So yeah, they definitely ran at him all day, all game, because he was right in the middle, and he was played 15 minutes there and made about 30 tackles and still managed to break the line, almost scored.
You'd have to think Big Billy Kicker might have his eyes on Ponga all game if he's standing in the line, which could be good for owners of both Ponga making tackles and Billy with the offloads and the busts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah. Panthers against the Knights, you've got to be playing your attacking players, right? So, it'd be very interesting.
Sunny Saturday arvo in Penrith. Could be a couple of cricket scores getting racked up, you'd hope.
Yeah, definitely.
The other bit of late mail we had was for the Manly game on Friday. So, a bit of word around that Marty Taupau and Brian Kelly were getting assessed for leg injuries during the week. So, I haven't seen anything too concrete come out. But it looks like both of those guys are likely to play. Not sure if you're a Taupau owner, but it was a bit worrying watching him last week. I think he was on the bench, and I swear I saw an ice pack on the arm at one point. He was taken off with about 5 minutes to go in the game as well. So just a weird, weird game for Marty. I'm not sure what's to go there.
Yeah, so Taupau, he only played 38 minutes, but I had a look and unfortunately, I haven't been able to update this in my minutes article yet, but what he did do was he came off with about 12 minutes to play, which I think if he had played out the game, which was probably expected, he would have played about 50 minutes. So I think his minutes were going to be as normal, but he did limp off. So that's probably the leg injury that he's been assessed for. And Brian Kelly also left the field about 8 minutes to go, also with the leg injury. So at this stage, it seems like they're likely to play given they're named, but definitely keep an eye on the late mail there and especially Wacko's Whispers when it comes out. All right, so.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Moving on, looking at the injuries, so we've got Wade Graham, who obviously came off in, at the back end of the first half last week with a suspected medial injury. So he's going to definitely be out this week. He's hopeful to be back next week, but there's still a chance he could miss at least 2 weeks, if not three at worst. You mentioned James Maloney being out. So there's some chat going around this today that he might only miss the 2 weeks and he should be back for the round 25 game against the Storm. Obviously, he's not super coach relevant at the moment with Cleary taking back to goal kicking, but it obviously may impact Cleary and also may impact one often feeding the ball to him. Next, we've got Ryan Hoffman, who's unfortunately done his hamstring, really one of the worst times. So there is the slim chance that if the Storm make the prelim or the grand final, he might get a bit of a fairy tale send off, but it's going to take, you know, all the, you know, forces of the universe coming together for that to happen. He's got to get his rehab right. If it is the last we've seen of him, I mean, he's had a brilliant career. So it's just sad. It's way, obviously not quite on his. And then Widdop, you mentioned, obviously, he's done his shoulder. So good news for them, for the Dragons, is that he won't be needing, you know, rehabbing the shoulder, seeing how it goes over the next couple of weeks. He could be back for the finals. Next, we've got, obviously, Taumalolo. You mentioned he's been suspended for 1 week. So he'll definitely be back next week, barring any sort of freak accident while he's up. Now we've got Michael Gordon, who's done his wrist. He seems to be out for the season with Alex Brimson out playing fullback. So I guess, you know, Kane LG seems like he's going to be most likely staying in the halves the rest of the year, which I know plenty of attacking players, especially opposition back rowers, running at him, probably licking their lips waiting for that one.
He can throw a kamikaze-like tackle in there, can't he? He's not the most technically gifted defender, but that might be interesting.
But he tried.
That's all you can ask.
But then finally, I think we've got Connor Watson. So he's not back this week yet again. There's just some chat that he should be back next week. So he started doing some limited training. So fingers crossed for those who still may have Watson. He was absolutely killing it, super coach-wise. Up until he got hurt. So, you know, for those in the back end, the business end of the head-to-head finals, he could be quite a dangerous pod if, you know, your opponent somehow still has him. So, yeah, keep an eye on that one as well. All right, so let's we normally don't look at coaching. NRL coaches is a bit of an issue, but there's been so much chat about it this week because obviously there's been quite a lot of coach movement, a lot of rumors and the like. So I thought it'd be good that we take, you know, 5 minutes to have a chat about what's going on there. They already played a game. Pretty pleased with it. About the back end of it. What's your take on the impact? Do you think that's actually changed anything for the Panthers?
It's hard to say because there's been so much talk throughout the year that Anthony Griffin had taken that back seat to either Gus, and even the players have now come out and said that Serraldo was the main director for their attacking structures throughout the year. So based on that, you wouldn't think it's the most disruptive coach removal a few weeks out from the finals that it could have been. It seems like it's been in the works for quite a while. So who knows, maybe it just breaks the shackles a bit for the Panthers and and works wonders. But either way, it's sort of digging them into a hole because, you know, what if they go on to win the comp itself? Is that then how unfortunate is that for Anthony Griffin, because he's assembled that side and got them to that point? Or conversely, they bomb out in the finals, and then does the blame rest with Gould for making this call so early? So it's fascinating how this has all played out so close to the finals for a team that's now sitting in the top four. Crazy.
It's certainly the weirdest timing I've seen, but he's obviously not the only coach thinking of, he's not the only coach that might be in danger here, because obviously Trent Barrett has now resigned officially, reportedly anyway. So he'll be leaving the Seagulls at the end of the season due to lack of resources, which is that's been blamed. So how do you think this is going to affect the Seagulls?
Yeah, they're a basket case. I don't know what's going on there, but I think all this distraction and all the off-field stuff used to inspire Manly. Like they've never had the most plentiful resources of any of the Sydney clubs or any of the NRL clubs, but they've gotten by on this adversity in the past that sort of fed the way that they've played, backs to the wall, Manly hates you too, that kind of attitude there. But again, from what I've understood about Barrett, he wouldn't have lost the dressing room or anything. There's not been anything that's sort of come out in relation to that. I think it seems like it's another coach that's not agreeing with the higher-ups above him who are directing the operations of the club. So in terms of affecting the players, who knows, if he hasn't lost the dressing room and the club's turfed him out, as it seems they have, to the players, then turn it up and stop putting in. Like it's really interesting how that's going to play out. And that affects quite a few sort of super coach relevant players as well. So, yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I wouldn't mind seeing Manly fall in a heap to the end of the year, given the precarious spot my own club is in with the whole wooden spoon drama. But based on Manly's history with this sort of stuff, I don't know, I just see him charging through and ignoring what's happening off the field, as they always seem to do.
So no need for, Jake Turbo, Tommy Turbo, DCE, Tapal, Sean Lane, any of those owners to panic?
I wouldn't imagine so, no. I mean, you look at their run, like it's okay. You've got, Titans this week, Tigers, and then your Broncos up at Suncorp. So, yeah, who'd know? I think it's just minds on football for those sort of guys. They've been around the game long enough. This sort of off-field dramas, you'd like to think, wouldn't distract them too much. But, again, just an enigma. Who knows?
All right, so I was considering a potential pod captain of DCE this week, so do you reckon I should go ahead with that one?
Ooh, pod captain DCE. I'm surprised you've still – have you held on to him basically all year, or have you picked him up?
No. I only bought him last week.
My goodness.
I went Brimson to DCE with my final trade because I couldn't afford Cleary.
Well, not the worst trade. He was looking okay last week before Tommy just took over and turned up. But
DC scored 91.
Look at that. Oh, Jesus. You nailed that trade, mate. Well done.
Absolutely. Who needs Cleary, right? I've got DCE now.
Well, if any listeners are out there and they don't have enough money to afford Cleary, I know we've got DCE down here for a little pod trading. He's sitting about 520k or so, three round average of 80. Not the worst goal kicker as well, especially with that run home.
Absolutely.
That 6 p.m. game at Lotto Land, mate, that'll be a make or break one for your week, basically, if you put the C on him.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to have the balls to carry it out. Not with this, latest round of uncertainty and all that. But I might throw the VC on him.
It's Hail Mary time, mate. Just balls to the wall, go for it.
I think my Hail Mary was when I traded out Teddy for RTS a couple of weeks back. Too many weeks ago. Let's move on. I don't want to think about it.
We've all heard.
So the next coach obviously has been in the media a lot for quite a while now, but especially this week, Wayne Bennett. Firstly, were you invited to his barbecue?
Sadly, I wasn't. I don't understand. Being the number one season ticket holder for the Broncos, lifelong fan that I am, Wayne Bennett posters littering my walls. Shocked that I didn't get an invite to this barbecue that wasn't actually a barbecue because he un-Australianly doesn't own one. But, you know, I'm not the Broncos insider. I think that's your field, mate. What's your take on it? I know I've read that you're a little bit worried that it may mean a player exodus given Bennett's so close to the playing group.
I think for me, what I can see is that a lot of the issue lies with Paul White. I think from what I've been hearing, you know, a lot of the questionable contracts and things like that have been, you know, organized and you know, facilitated by him. So, you know, even though a lot of people thought, you know, Bennett's the one that's giving out Darius Boyd a 4-year contract on, you know, $900,000 a year when Boyd is very clearly cooked, you know, if not well done by now, he's very close to it.
He's a crisp. He's burnt to a crisp.
Pretty much. So obviously, you know, there were plenty of question marks there. And then, you know, given all the history between Bennett and Boyd, everyone assumed it was just Bennett looking after his, you know, long lost love child, Darius. But from what I'm hearing is that Bennett's actually got no control over the actual contracts. I mean, he tells, you know, the higher ups who to get, who to target. But he doesn't have any control over the amounts, the lengths of time on the contracts and things like that. So, yeah, apparently that's been one of the issues. Playing group obviously still very much in Bennett's camp. So I don't know if you've seen the latest in the barbecue gate saga.
Yeah.
Apparently, so half the players, you know, once they realized that, oh, you know, a few people had gone over to hang out at Bennett's place, they left the function that Paul White was hosting, and you know, ended up spending the rest of the night over at Bennett's place. You know,
Bennett the party house.
Yeah, it was interesting.
So how did this all start?
Barbecue, but sorry. This is just what I've been, you know, reading from obviously all the articles coming out and things like that. So there's an official team function that Paul White's hosted. So Wayne Bennett was not going to show up, so he said he wasn't going to go. Darius, you know, sends a message saying, yep, he won't be able to make it either. He's gone over just to have, I don't know, probably a drink or two with Bennett, probably have a quiet night in. As it turns out, some of the players who were already at the function, they found out about it and they started messaging Bennett going, hey, you know, we want to support you. What's going on? Are you doing anything? Like, is this an official thing? When he's just like, no, we're just having a feed. And then, you know, later on, they just leave. They just leave the White's function and go over and spend the majority of the night over at Bennett's with, you know, more and more players. So it definitely shows that the players are still in his camp. They've got his back, so to speak. So in terms of, you know, all the uncertainty, I think the players hopefully are going to turn up this week and finally let their footy show that they're actually backing them up, as opposed to just, you know, their off-field words and things like that. I mean, the Broncos always turn up against the Rabbitohs. And, I mean, they did that early this year in Sydney after they actually beat them. And the Rabbitohs were pretty much close to full strength. I mean, Inglis was still around. They had Johnston. So it's not this bit part back line that they've got going on at the moment. Even though the Broncos obviously haven't had the best of form in the recent weeks. But I think, you know, with how this is all playing out, I mean, yeah, sure, there's going to be a lot of turmoil, but I reckon on the field, the players will probably want to play for Bennett and do their best in that regard. So I'd be, you know, I've got Milford and Witt at 5'8", so I'm going to be playing Milford this week, obviously.
Well,
I'm playing for Oates as well. Mm. I think Corey Oates, he somehow always turns up against the Bunnies. He's had quite a good record against them. Mm. So I'll be playing him with some confidence. I think the Broncos will get it together this week. They may not win because the Bunnies are bloody good, but I think they'll give them an account for themselves as opposed to the previous weeks.
I mean, you know how much of a fan I am of your wonderful club. I actually am backing them in for a win this week against everything that I generally stand for. Time and again, I sit back and I see this off-field stuff with the Broncos, and I see turmoil in the ranks and signing duds like Boyd and Bird to huge contracts. And you always think it's going to blow up in their face at some point, and they turn around and will find a win out of nowhere against a top club. Bunnies played last week in that huge matchup, the big rivalry against the Roosters. That would have taken a lot out of them. Broncos, tough loss again last week to my boys. So I think, I don't know, I just think everything seems to have the writing on the wall for a Broncos ambush here. As much as I'm loath to say it, I like your boys.
All right. You don't have to be so ashamed. There's no shame in admitting you like the Broncos.
I need a very warm, boiling hot shower after saying that, but there you go.
All right. And finally, I guess all the rumours are about Anthony Seibold being the potential target for Broncos. So that, I guess, with those two coaches facing off this week, seems to be quite an interesting storyline. So do you anticipate any issues with the Bunnies? I mean, obviously a lot of us have Bunnies in our team, with the likes of Cook, Crichton, Johnston, obviously he's injured, Walker. I mean, some people might even have Reynolds, who knows?
I mean, aside from our boy Angus last week, it was a quiet old game for a lot of Bunnies. I guess that was just the nature of the matchup against the Roosters, another high-flying club, pretty high intensity, neither side giving too much. I reckon that'll might just come back to bite them a bit. It's a shorter turnaround for them as well, 6 days with the travel up to Brizzy. I've seen it happen plenty of times before. These sides play these huge matches, yours and my sides, even.
You think this could be a distraction?
It's hard to say, because at the moment it seems like there's a new story in the papers every week, so every day. So who knows what the truth is, what the gospel is. So this Seibold stuff, I don't imagine it rates too highly on their radar, given that it's all just conjecture at the moment. So I don't know. I think the Rabbits are a well-run enough club to put that any sort of talk like that behind them. But yeah, another interesting showdown, Bennett versus Seibold.
So I guess coaching turmoils and dramas and rumours and everything like that, I think what we've basically come to the conclusion that it really won't have any impact on Supercoach.
After all that, makes for good reading, and you can use it as an excuse if your players bomb, but yeah, who knows? Like, it could go either way. Some teams would go flying after the coach gets sacked, and when there's talk around, some teams fold. So, yeah, who knows? Either way.
Certainly be interesting to see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks.
Back to Supercoach.
Into, our own coaching dramas. So who's going to be captaining this week?
I've gone pretty safe so far. So I've stuck the vice on Turbo for Friday's game against the Titans, and gone C. Cleary up against the Knights on that Saturday arvo. So nothing too out of the box. I didn't feel like I needed to go down a too high a pod route. But how about yourself?
Yeah, look, I think landed VC on Damien Cook, given he's playing on Thursday night, and we know how crazy he could go, especially against the Broncos, who are relatively soft up the middle. So yeah, he's one VC option. The other one I mentioned obviously before, DCE. He's my pod, and he's obviously got a pretty juicy matchup against the Titans as well. Obviously, there's his own little storyline with them. Obviously, having backflipped on them a couple of years back, so I might want to show them, exactly what they missed out on. Especially since they've been stuck with Ash Taylor since then.
He's got a bit of a point to prove, DCE. I like that captaincy move, mate. I want you to lock it in. Don't look back.
Oh, look, I'll have a think about it on Thursday, tomorrow night, once I decide if I do throw the VC on Cook.
Yeah,
he doesn't go too well in my, roll the dice with DC.
Cook's
the other person I've actually thought about, captaining.
I was just going to say, I missed out all those weeks where Cook went ballistic and stuck it on him last week, which obviously didn't go too well. But do you think there's a little niggle that he's got running around with, or do you expect him to sort of see that out and go back to the way he was?
There's some pictures of him training today with a fair bit of strapping around his thigh, where he actually picked up the cork last week in mid-game, but he obviously is a pretty tough little guy, and he played out the game, even though he had a big cork in his thigh. So, he didn't look overly hindered, but from the sounds of it, he's obviously carrying it. So it'd be interesting to see whether it impacts his ability to run, which obviously is, the most dangerous part of his game. So, yeah. And I guess for me, I think the other captaincy I'm looking at potentially is going to roll the dice to RTS again. Obviously, in the last 2 weeks, he's really gotten himself back into some form after a bit of a shock against the Titans about 3-4 weeks ago. And Adults have been quite kind to opposition fullbacks. Last week, obviously, we saw Tommy Togo accidentally brain it, so I can see RTS possibly having quite a good game as well.
I heard that I read a stat he's scored 2 tries all year. Is that right?
RTS actually sounds about right, actually. I'll have a quick look.
I know he's set up a few, but he's sort of gone rocks and diamonds throughout the year. Still got that sort of blistering run from the back. I know that a game where he took out Michael Morgan from us, broke his ankles and busted his bicep in the process of that step. But yeah,
okay, all right, 2 tries.
That's crazily quiet for a guy of his talents, and especially because the Warriors have had a pretty decent year by their standards. Like, they're not yet falling away, so potentially, yeah, it's ripe for RTS to come into a rich vein of form leading into the finals. It'd be good to see for the Warriors for once.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're all but locked in, which is a really good thing for Warriors fans. So, maybe Nick can have something to be positive about at the back end of the season for once.
That's always the way. Well, the Supercoach side still with a shot. So, yeah, it'll be hoping he doesn't go the way of his own Warriors. But we'll see. He's still got that over Wenin. So, regardless of what the Warriors do or his own team, as long as he beats Wenin, I think that's it. He's safe.
And just I guess looking at some other options for VC, obviously, with the Bunnies playing Thursday night, you've got the likes of Cody Walker, Cook, we've talked about, and then you've got on Friday night, you've got Turbo, Munster, even Cameron Smith. Obviously, he didn't have the best game last week, but we know how dangerous he can be. He could easily have a big bounce back, especially given that he's up against the Eels, who have been pretty leaky towards opposition hookers all year. Then looking at captain options, we've obviously got Nathan Cleary, you've got Kakao. If you really want to, have a bit of a Hail Mary pot option, you've got Peachy at fullback. We've seen how large he can go. We've also got Masters. Val Holmes has just been absolutely killing it. And then Teddy Luttrell, Virgo. Who else?
Oh, geez. I can't imagine another 4 p.m. game where these guys go ballistic. I mean, I've got Luttrell out of Teddy and Fergo, so I hope for his sake he goes nuts, but this is their spot, and I can't tune into this one because I've just got a feeling they're going to go absolutely rack up a huge score on the Raiders. I think the Raiders are pretty much it done for the year, so this has a Roosters bloodbath written all over it.
Yeah, I think Luttrell and BJ, we know how I suspect BJ is defensively, so that could be a really cool one.
I think all his points will come in the space of 10 minutes when BJ gets his customary sin binning, or Rapana, one of the two.
And as a non-owner of all of those guys, I'm hoping that, BJ Latrell in the game. That's just me.
Right, take your dog for a walk and make it 2 hours. Don't check scores. I think it's going to be bad for most non-owners.
I won't lie. I actually haven't watched like one or two of the Roosters games because I couldn't bear the sight of watching Teddy and Latrell and all of them running around, knowing how highly owned they all are. Just thinking, I don't think I could last watching another, you know, triple time from those three.
No, it's unreal. It's up there, like the opposite end of the spectrum to watching a pod that you have go nuts. And we're having to watch someone you don't own that's so highly owned just tear it up 2 weeks in a row too. But, you know, that's the luck of super coach. Sometimes you got to stick and you can't go too wild with pods. But anyway, I'd suggest, looking away again, 4 p.m. Sunday.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. All right, so look, we normally do spend a bit of time talking about trades, but I mean, do you have any trades left?
I have the one this week. So kicked out Gareth Widdop, none too soon, from the side. Swapped down Johnson to 5'8" and brought in Cleary with about 20K to spare. I was running on about, I think, four trades from about three rounds ago. So yeah, they're finally all gone. So now here's the fun time of the year where you just pray there's no injuries. And it was carnage last week, so who knows? I know you used
I'd held that trade for about 3 weeks too, so I'd been sitting on one for quite a while.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone either. I think that's just the temptation of super coaches, isn't it? If you're looking to make up ground during the middle rounds, you're just throwing away trades left, right, and center. But, you know, and then these things happen, like Widdop busting his shoulder and Taumalolo out injured. So just pays to have guys that you can bring in, like a, I don't know, an Aiden Tolman or someone like that, that you've kept for this long just for these injuries. Because otherwise, if there's no trades, it's a huge strain. You're going to be running with guys like Kurt Mann or someone like that if it gets that serious. But you haven't been too affected so far, have you?
Well, I mean, you know, I've obviously got Taumalolo. I've got, you know, Widdop as well injured. And, you know, I've had a couple of injuries, you know, as well. But the way I traded, I went hard to build my squad. I've had, you know, quite a deep squad, but just because I've worked on these trades, I hadn't been able to get stuff from my pods to the more highly end pods because I just ran out of trades. So I've kind of definitely, you know, I've got the likes of Coleman, James, Madison, Nene, Puss, all these guys sitting on the bench who I didn't play in the last couple of weeks. I tried to catch up to the distance, and I made a couple of balls which flopped.
And as a result, that's why I'm saying that.
I don't know if you think back to the year where you won. I don't know if you probably got off to a better start during the year and didn't have to burn as many trades. But when you think back to 2016, did you feel this sort of pressure coming into the back end? Were you running low on trades? I think you were quite low heading out of the set or the last buy, weren't you?
I was actually pretty low because I got out to a lead early on and. About mid, after the second buy, I jumped out to a sizable lead and I'd been holding it for the majority of the season. And then, yeah, I think I came out the back end of the buys with about 8 trades left. And then I spent about 5 or 6 just, you know, tinkering with my team to get the last, you know, post-origin guns in and things like that. And I had, you know, a squad of 23 and 2 trades, and I kind of sat on that for about 5 weeks until, like, I think it was about round 24 when, I just, you know, I had 2 injuries and I was like, well, I might as well just cancel out my last couple of pods from people chasing me, and I just used the last 2 and then I sat there for the last 2 rounds.
How easy is this tag, right? That's the perfect year.
It was a dream year. Like, it couldn't have gone too much better, even though I did my best to lose it when I, you know, did crazy stuff like bench, cart riding, theory, and they both turned up in that same week. Yeah. But anyway.
Just shows though that you're not always completely out of it if you do miss out something like that. I know it can be doom and gloom if you leave someone on the bench like that, but
we can learn from the people up at the top who made stupid mistakes like that. All right, so for those people who do have trades, obviously you've got the likes of Widdup who are out effectively for the rest of the season for Supercoach purposes. You've got AJ Johnston, who also might be out for a while. What are our options here? Like, who should people be targeting, let's say, in at 5'8 or at the centre wing position?
I guess if you start looking at Johnston replacements, it really just does depend on how much money that you've got. So obviously there are premium options out there, like your Ferguson's, Latrell if you don't have him, Val Holmes, obviously, but it's probably unlikely that people who have Johnston also have the money to then upgrade him to someone like that. So I think you've got to be looking more around that sort of 550 to 400K sort of range, especially because Johnston's, what, 407K. So you're trading him out at quite a discount on his original value. So yeah, we've got a couple of guys lined up here that have their names sort of floating around this week. So you've got the usual guys like Gutherson and Hain from the Eels. Obviously they've been flying the last couple of weeks, Hain especially. Bit of a tough run to come home for the Eels, and Hain is 550K, Gutho is about 470. So again, they're sort of at the top end. I've seen a few people bring those guys in. Wonga Blake from the Pennies is about 5'10", 5-round average of 70. He's been killing it on that edge for the Panthers. And, I mean, if you like their run home, he's probably quite a good option there outside. Billy Kicks, as we saw on the weekend for the winning try. Couple of guys that are probably not as spoken about as they should be, Addo Carr and Nofo. So they're both, well, Nofo's 450, Addo's 463. We know what they can do, and I think they've shown glimpses of it the last couple of weeks. What do you reckon about those two guys? So it'd be about a 50K jump from Alex Johnston as is, but... Yeah, I mean, they're pretty good options for that price at this stage of the year for teams that are looking the goods.
Yeah, I think Addo Carr definitely is a real option, and as is Vunivalu. You know, they've got the Eels, they've got the Titans, and then the Panthers. So all three teams have been pretty kind to opposition centre wingers. Then obviously, you know, looking at Nofaluma, I mean, I was always a big fan. They've obviously got the Dragons, Manly, and then the last tough game against the Souths, but Tigers always seem to do well against the Bunnies. So, yeah, I mean, I think all three games for both teams are obviously quite winnable and could be quite high scoring as well. So both good options. And I guess if it depends how risk-averse you are. If you like, you know, a bit more risk-averse, you probably might go Nofo, given his higher base. But we obviously see Addo Carr with a much higher ceiling as well.
And an angry storm as well. They've been down and out, playing against tough defensive sides in the Bunnies and the Sharks last week. I think they'll relish having a little less polished side in Para to come up, which I guess is why I'm big on to CS9 this week. Another name that we had down here as well, and he's back. We mentioned him in the team list, but the mullet himself, Mahe Fanua, he's come back. He's 440K. He's down to about 3% owned, but I think nearly everyone had him at some stage during the year. What do you reckon about that player? I think of all the names we've listed, he's got to be, I'd like to say, the highest risk-reward ratio. He could be a huge pod in the run home.
Okay, so I think we've talked about enough settling options there. So let's talk about 5/8 replacements for Widdup. So hopefully, you might have a dual Nuff or someone like Brimson who can shift around. So we might cover some halfback options as well. So 5/8, obviously. Matt Moylan, who's obviously got a very juicy run home with the Sharks. It's 473K, 5-round average of 57. So we've seen him, have quite a few good games. Do you like Moylan?
No, buyer beware, but we're just seeing what he can do. Once people put a bit of faith into him, he's just so up and down. But the one thing is, if you're backing the Sharks to come home with a wet sail, they've got the Cows, the Knights, the Dogs to finish off. They're looking like they're clicking. It's a big risk, and again, it's in that sort of Fanua mold of pods, but I'd be steering clear. But I've seen his name popping up left, right and centre, so I think we'll see his name on a few head-to-heads this week.
I think one thing I picked up is that he definitely, both in terms of the eye test and also the stats, he looks a lot better when he's got Wade Graham beside him. And I actually worked it out. Like, he had quite so there's been a number of games where he's played where Wade Graham's been missing or he's gotten injured in the first half. I think Moreland's averaged from about 10 or so games in the where that's happened. He's only averaged about 40.
Jeez.
So that's in huge. The games where Wade Graham's played the full game or most of the game at least 50 plus minutes, he's Moreland's sitting on an average of 75 or something like that, something ridiculous. Yeah, take from that what you want, what you will. To me, he definitely looks better when Wade Graham's there as an option to take the attention off Moylan and, defenders. Maybe, they're in two minds because they've got the dual attacking threats there. So, yeah, I think when Wade Graham's not there and, this is no slight on Scott Sorensen, who's the likely replacement for Graham. But, obviously they don't key in on Sorensen the way they do with Graham. So a lot more attention is focused on Moylan, and that shuts down a lot of the time that he has to do, his touch footy kind of play.
And I think as well with the rise of Val Holmes at fullback the last month or so, he's also been getting the ball on those wraparound plays and playing as that second receiver or third receiver even sort of role. So you're looking there at losing potentially a few tri-sits that are going away from Moylan and to Holmes instead. So, yeah, interesting point about Wade Graham, unusual one, but wouldn't back against one of these weird Wilf stats that you've pulled out that are always a bit of smoke. So buyers beware, I think we can agree on Matty Moylan.
Yeah, like I said, it's certainly he's got the ability to just, pull out a ton from nowhere. Which against the last three opponents they've got, the Sharks have got, I can certainly see at least one ton in there with or without Wade Graham.
Easy.
All right. So another option, obviously, and I dropped his name earlier, DCE, who's 524K, 3-round average of 80. So he's really done quite well since he got that goal kicking back. And we talked about the Sea Eagles having quite a nice draw. So they've got Titans this week, Tigers away next week, and then Broncos up at Suncorp on the Sunday afternoon footy. So, plenty of points in potentially all three of those games. If, let's say, you weren't getting Cleary, would DCE be your next choice?
Yeah, I think quite easily. Goal-kicking half when, obviously, Hodkinson's not on the field. He's looked sharp the last few weeks. Manly Don't look like the sort of blunted attack that they've had at stages throughout the year. So, I mean, we've seen what he can do, and he did go through one of these patches earlier in the year, DCE. So he's the focal point of their attack, and if you're banking on them scoring points in the run home, you'd have to think he's involved in some way. Huge three-round average, around that 80. So, yeah, I think value for money as well. It might be a bit of a step up for those that have held Widdop and don't have an extra sort of 130k to spend. But I wouldn't, I like him, and I like him for captaincy this week. Obviously, I've gone Cleary myself, sort of sticking with the crowd. But I don't know. I think if you're looking for a pod, he's probably up there with the best for the run home.
So, and you're saying you would actually pick him if you weren't getting Cleary?
Yep. Looking at this list that we've got here, I reckon he's a gun for these last three rounds.
Okay. So if I was to mention this next name, who's, you know, 524K, same price, three-round average of 76.
You're going to...
Might be your, you know, the great man himself. I would not trade Thurston in over DCE.
I'm already tearing up just hearing those initials. It's coming to an end, and it's coming too quickly. Yeah, I mean, look, I love the man and what he's done for our Supercoach team, what he's done for me as a Cowboys fan. One last hurrah. I've heard VK say he just wants to bring him in for the farewell tour. But, I mean, in all honesty, our run's probably a bit tougher than Manly's. JT's he's scoring okay, like pretty well, obviously, with that 76. But stacking up DC against JT, I just think Cherry Evans has probably got the highest ceiling in the run home for mine, as much as I love JT. And, yeah, it's going to be tough to see him out, and you're a brave man to back against him going to town. But yeah, I don't know, just I think prefer DCE, and I'll sit back and enjoy JT in my NRL side for one last time. Do you like him though? I mean,
yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be tough for him this week, you know, Sharks away without Tomalolo. Like, that could be quite a low score for him, but then there's Para in Townsville, the last home game ever. And then it's Swan Song down in the Gold Coast. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a sellout, even though obviously it's the Titans and you know, Cbus Super Stadium, which is not exactly the greatest ground. But
Obviously got tickets to that in the away supporters bay, which is now full. But I think they were selling like hotcakes from what I've heard. Everyone wanting to get down there to see the great man off, and there'll be tears and all the works as we watch him one last time. But yeah, I mean, sentimentally, that's where it is. But I think from a super coach perspective, it's had a good run, but obviously it's been his leanest year, maybe ever. So in a good patch at the moment, but I don't know. I just prefer DCE personally.
It's very, very, very favorable. All right, and then we've got two last options. We've got Luke Brooks and Moses Mbai, obviously both from the Tigers, both, you know, around the 424 to 448K range. So, I mean, I don't think we need to talk too much about them. They're options. The Tigers, obviously, you know, they're still fighting for top eight, most likely at the expense of the Broncos, or most probably the Dragons, if not the Broncos.
Jeez, there's some teams going in opposite directions, aren't there? No, I just like the way the Tigers have played this year. Well, the last couple of months anyway, just they've got a really nice brand of attacking footy, which lends itself from the likes of Brooks, Robbie, Benji, Mbai poking in and around. And I think if there'll be a few people that are stuck in terms of who they can afford. So at that cheaper sort of range, these two guys. So, yeah, I wouldn't say the worst given their run home and what they can do with the footy in hand. I like the Tigers for the run home. So if you're looking at someone in that price range and you're a little worried, I think, yeah, stick with one of them and be confident, because I reckon that could come off.
Yep, certainly an option there. And one last name, and I'm just going to spring on you, Mitch Moses.
He's the, another enigma in these halves. He ran the ball like he was lightning last week, but I don't know. I can't trust him. We all saw he has these games in him, and obviously he's had a good run the way Parra have gone, and he goal kicks. But it's Mitchell Moses. I couldn't back him with any confidence stacking up against some of those other names. But what do you reckon? Do you think he's worth the punt, knowing his past and his grievances to super coaches?
I think if I was really desperate for a pod, he's definitely not the worst option. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, Moses or Mbai, so Moses is 428K, Mbai is 424K. So if you're talking between those two, I might actually lean towards Mitch Moses. That's, you know, more so because Parra's got, I mean, they've got Melbourne this week, but they've got the Cowboys and Roosters. So it's not the greatest draw, but the Eels have actually been playing pretty well. Surprisingly, and obviously that's why they've managed to drag themselves off the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, the way they've played in games, I mean, they've had a few sort of heartbreaking losses, but they don't look like a wooden spoon side, do they? So, yeah, I just think Corey Norman always floating around there, and Gutho, he's sort of playing. I mean, Jamin Salmon came in last week, so... Yeah, obviously Moses has got to be the dominant playmaker. So honestly, I haven't given him much thought. He's dual position as well. If you're stuck in Stormay, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. But
just as a left field stat, so Moses has actually only gone over 60 twice this year, and he scores when he does go over 60, 137 and 134.
So there you go. Owners can rejoice if they see him crack 60 at halftime, knowing there's a huge ton coming up. We just won't talk about his 6, his 11, his 15, his another 11, his other 30s. You know, he's rocks or diamonds, but it's that time of year, isn't it? These Hail Mary passes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, any other last trade options that you want to talk about?
Well, obviously nothing on my end. That's it. I'm done. And I think majority of people are as well. It'll now just be, I think, majority of super coaches sit back and death ride the players they don't have and pray for no injuries to their own. It's that fun time of year, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I guess most of us are probably worrying about who we should be putting reserves on, more so than who we're going to be bringing in or trading out. So, let's have a talk about some of the potential, you know, third or fourth reserves we might be, struggling over this week. So the likes of, I mean, we already kind of already talked about Kalen Ponga potentially playing 5-8. Let's just roll through these. Yay or nay? Would you play him?
Nay. And I own him.
Okay. Cam Smith.
Yay.
Yay. Marty Tapau.
Nay, given the injuries.
Okay. I would lean a yay as long as it, you know, there's some sort of news there about the injury, like it's, you know, that he pulls through a captain's run or something like that. I'm with you on Smith as well, and I already said I would play Ponga. Andrew Fifita.
Big nay.
Yep, same. Ryan James, fresh off 80. A full 84-minute game and 92 points with a try.
Yay for mine. He's turned it around with base the last week, and I like his minutes, and he just finds the line. I like him.
Jai Arrow?
Yay.
Yep, I think I'm with you on both of them. If I was to pick one over the two, I'd probably still lean Arrow, just because... he's definitely got the better PPM in base. And, you know, if he does have a low-minute game like he did last week, he's still obviously, you know, scored 50-plus, whereas James, when he does get, you know, 50 or 60 minutes, we saw he scored like 28 or something the week before. So, yeah, still not as a low work rate as Jai Arrow.
And no knee strapping, I've heard from some training pictures this week. Someone was mentioning that he's running around sort of unencumbered, so it's a good sign.
All right, Cam Munster.
Yay for the Eels.
Yeah, for sure. You and Aitken.
Nay.
All right. I'm torn on this one, actually. I don't own him, so that's why I haven't really thought about it. But if Ben Hunt steps up, you'd think Aitken's going to get a fair bit of ball, especially if they're going to run out that left edge, especially if it ends up being, say, Fanua and Nagama on that left, center-left wing combination there. I think that's where the Dragons could attack if they manage to find any attack in them.
I say nay quickly for him, but thinking back to last week's game, he got over the line, busted through and put the ball down, but they overturned it on a double movement call that I thought was a bit harsh. So, I mean, if he gets that, then he hits 70 or 80 and not 40. But I just can't trust the Dragons' attack based on where they've been and what they've been doing the last few weeks. I've got to play him just because he's obviously filling in that centre wing role as the fourth centre wing that I've got. And I think a few people will be in the same boat, but if you have a choice, I'll definitely leave them out. I can't trust them.
That's fair. All right. Sam Burgess, he had an absolute shocker last week. I think he made like 5 errors and effectively cost the Rabbitohs game right at the end because he threw the ball away again. But would you play him this week?
I would, and that's just on the basis that he had such a bad game. So he's a fiery character, Sam. So I think Broncos might have to look out.
Yeah, well, he's going to be one of our starting props, so definitely in for me. And I think this will be a pretty simple one. Bill Kakao, yay.
Yeah, obviously. I don't think we've shed too much light there either. I think we've yayed pretty much all of them except Aitken and Fifita. So probably been no help to them, but I might suggest a dartboard, throw something there, blindfolded, see how you go.
All right. Yeah, I think it's look, this the only ones we were kind of universal on was Fifita, was both nay for both of us. And I think we were both yay for about 80% of the rest. So yeah, I think you're right. We haven't been too helpful, have we?
But no, these are all the names that I've seen popping up, people trying to decide who they're going to go with. I think it's inevitable that you'll leave one or two of these players out and they'll rack up a huge score, but that's the nature of the time of the season that we're at now. You just have to run with it.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, I'm looking at this list, so I don't know Kakao, I don't know Ank and Munster and Fifita. So I do own Ponga, Smith, Tapau, James, Arrow, Sergis. And I'm playing all of them except James. So not much use, am I?
Righty, man. Well, it just shows you've got good enough depth there, but not obviously too much that you're struggling to find spots for these players. But second row and even now front row has just been such a rich area for players this season. So, yeah, if you've got more of those players than you do in your sides, which a lot of players do, it's coming down to these tough calls. And, yeah, who knows what you look for. Some people look at run homes, but we see bottom sides turning up and beating top sides every week. And so it's a real lottery. I don't think you can really put too much science behind it, but good luck to people making these calls this week.
It's been a crazy, crazy season, and I think plenty of us feel that it's been one of the toughest Supercoach seasons for some time.
And a lot of it's luck too. It's you get the trades at the right time, you miss injuries, you buy players ton up. Like, it's a long year and all of this stuff adds up. So
that's it, absolutely. And with that, I think we probably should finish off. I think we've gone plenty long enough, so hopefully we were of some help. No doubt you'll be back with the usual suspects next week.
When they've recovered and when Langy's put the pina colada down, we'll see.
Yeah, having said that, I mean, would you trust him? The amount of alcohol he's consumed.
It can't hurt, right? I think he's been making enough poor choices sober.
That's a fair call, fair call. All right, so we better head off. Thanks again for tuning in. Yeah, look, if you like what we're dishing up, tell the boys and they can get us on more often.
Well, yeah, we've got a former winner and then we've got a few. We've had Carlos come on as well. We've had Semi come on. So they're shaking it up a bit in the pod this year. So I think the regulars might have to up their game, but we'll see.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks so much tonight.
All right. Cheers, Wolf. Good to talk, Matt.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.